Reno Center, August 8, 2021.
Hi everyone, welcome to tonight's Science Center meeting.
Tonight, we're going to go right into our study circle as we close our period of working on Most Precious. We're going to do three different parts of this evening's study circle. The first is we're going to talk about the symbols used in the Most Precious book and the story, the symbolism. Then Sat will read Our Glorious Night, the last diary entry from the book, and we'll talk about it. And then finally, we will just all have an opportunity to share about our own contemplations and experiences with the questions and answers from Most Precious. For the symbols portion, Sat, would you like me to just read it all straight and then we talk about it?
Yeah, and then we can open it and if there's any question about it or sharing, if not, we move on.
Okay. So from the story, these are all the symbols and symbolism. The seven friends, a symbol of the mind, body, and five senses. Purity of the heart in childhood. In the beginning, a newborn is born as a white canvas without any drawings upon it, according to their family's conditionings and what is accepted and believed in life. Slowly, lines are drawn on the white canvas until the child feels imprisoned. Remembering the promise they made around the campfire. This is the instinct with which each person is born. For a few, it is their turn, and they are guided to the peak of the mountain. But for some, this instinct stays dormant within them until the next movement happens. Symbol, the mountain and the climb. This symbol of the seeker's journey to know and embrace truth and existence. It is a journey that one needs to undertake to reach the peak. Symbol, the responsibilities divided amongst the seven children. This symbolizes harmony between the body, mind, and the five senses, result in success and victory. The map and the route of the journey. There are various ways to understand the truth and to realize the self, but in all cases, elevating the consciousness is necessary, much like climbing the mountain. When the peak is conquered, one comes face to face with the reality of oneself. Sitting around the campfire during the climb. Fire is a symbol of love, of the self and the truth. The thirstier you are, the more you want to associate with the truth. Therefore, you will feel the heat and the light more. The one who keeps close attention with the truth must sit close to it so that the flame can engulf him, much like a moth circling the flame of a candle. The moth is mesmerized by the light, therefore is drawn to it, sets its wings on fire, and ultimately turns to ash. Just like the annihilation of the ego and the birth of the I, this annihilation is a sign of its oneness with the flame. The birth of the fawn. This symbolizes the unmanifest to manifest upon the white canvas of truth. The playful butterflies passing by while dancing. A butterfly sitting on a flower for a brief amount of time and sipping its nectar symbolizes a person who tastes a drop of the truth on his dry lips, is intoxicated with the joy of this experience for a while, and once again flies away until the next return. This tasting continues until the path and destination become fully apparent. The delicate flowers growing amongst the boulders. It doesn't matter what situation in life you are in, if it is time, you will realize the truth, like the plant which has found its way through the very hard ground. Watching and observing this scene gives the seeker courage and strength, knowing that nothing is impossible. As soon as the grasshoppers are touched, they jump in all directions. The grasshoppers are like people's thoughts. As soon as you give attention, they jump around in all directions, and catching them becomes impossible. Therefore, it is best to just be an observer and watch them indifferently. The honeybees worshiping the flowers by circling around them. The attention of the bees is always and only on the nectar of the flowers. They suck on the nectar of the flowers, and ultimately they produce honey. As we see in the humanity, we can observe that most people are like flies. They sit on anything and everything without discrimination until they get interested on the deeper path of recognizing themselves. At that point, they begin to differentiate between what is real and what is not, what is temporary and what is eternal. Once on the path of realization, when a person gives all their attention and love to their beloved or their goal, like the honeybees, they reach self-forgetfulness and realize that they are one in essence with the flowers. The peak of the mountain. A symbol of meeting of the ego self with the reality of one self. Bathing on the peak. As we mentioned before, seven friends symbolize body, mind, and senses. Bathing on the peak symbolizes washing away all the old beliefs, desires, and acceptance, submerging into the pure water. As they merge out of the water, the first sight their eyes meet is the eyes of truth. This symbolizes a lifetime of preparation for this meeting. This happens on the peak of the mountain and not during the climb, because the climb is all about preparation. Once you are on the peak, then the truth of one self becomes visible. The appearance of the truth is always unexpected and unannounced. The first meeting with the Lady of Truth, a symbol of coming face to face with the truth and becoming aware of the inner voice. Finally, in this book, names were not given to the individuals in the story, so that instead of the reader's attention going to the name and form, it would go to the important truth that each word contains. The purpose of this is to go beyond the names and images. Who has a question or a sharing they'd like to express regarding the symbols?
I had a question. I don't know, Sat, if you're willing to talk about this more or not, but the lady tells the children that she's been waiting for them for a long time. And what does that mean, that she or the truth is waiting?
That's what it exactly means. It's expressing that the truth is always there. Unless we're ready to embrace it, there is a wait on both sides. It is poetically telling the truth. Again, we gotta have to look at it with the story in the big picture. We can't just focus on one-to-one person. I mean, most of the humanity is waiting. They don't even know they're waiting. And the truth is waiting to be visible. But did the symbolism made it more clear about the simplicity of the story that actually go ahead.
I had read this before, but when I read it today again, and when Kathy read it again, it so beautifully explains and clarifies and makes it clear. So yeah, it clicks and makes sense in a deeper level for me. And yeah, I really love it. The way that you explain it makes it much easier to make sure that if you understood it or not, or to what extent you...
Yeah, it takes it away from just a simple story to a journey, you know? It's not just seven kids going up there and meeting someone, and it just happened that she's really amazing. No, it's just... It tells the story of each of us, really. And the seven children, meaning that sense body and the five senses, just happen to take body, to take physical, to be born in a place that was very inducive to his journey. In other words, it was in a small town that people were not into greed and me. So the belief system was just so ready for these seven children to, in that lifetime, to be able to get it.
I love this last part that kind of goes with Radha's thing, where she says to them, I have to wait for you to grow up to get the physical strength to climb up to the peak. It was a long way. And then when she says, for now, let me just say that I'm here for each of you, closer than your closeness to one another, as I've always been and will always be with you. But you've been unaware of this secret.
That's right. Unaware. Everybody read the story before we came.
Yeah.
The seven children, they talk about various things that they do to prepare for the trip after they set a date.
Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of that preparation? What does it mean for everyone when they get that calling? What is that?
Each person is different. One is through... Let's go back to the symbolism again and not look at one child with one story. That unless the mind, body, and five senses cooperate, they come to the point that say, we want to know more about this life than we did before. Or the climbing is wanting... desiring to raise one's consciousness. And this cooperation they have, it showed their readiness. You see, again, you have to look in the bigger pictures. And it's just getting ready together. And it wasn't like the mind was scattered and kept delaying it, or the senses get distracted. They all took a responsibility to make this happen. Anybody else on the Zoom that would like to share?
I got new meaning from when you explained the law. Because sometimes I've noticed I'll have an issue that I'm worried about, and it just have to let it kind of fly around for a while until it finally dissolves. But it'll be weeks or months. but then it, all of a sudden it happens, and so
yeah.
That's kind of what I thought of.
Yeah. So these are the last words that was on the diary of the lady that was supposed to keep it. And we can all identify with the shock whenever we hear unexpectedly something happens in our life spiritually that just takes our breath away, whether there's a realization or a meeting or a gaze or whatever it is. Dear God, what happened to us? We climb up only to go back home with the simplest stories to tell. And now we are so rich and full. What an unexpected good fortune has been bestowed upon us. We are indeed full. It is beyond words. My simple diary is filled with the highest wisdom. Whoever comes across this writing should not take them lightly. I'm going to stop for a minute. Let us contemplate. Because we all came across these words. Whoever comes across this writing should not take it lightly. Because how often do we have 66 essential questions being answered from a very, very reliable source? For me, it was unbelievable because most of these questions, it was something that my body, mind, and five senses were looking for lifetimes. But with much reverence, as all seven of us feel, these nectars of truth not given to all, how did we tumble into them? We could not have imagined this in our wildest dream. Who can believe us? We are all indescribably touched by the power of the truth that was uttered through the precious lady. As we descend downward, we are also elevated to the sky. The whole secret of life was revealed to us in two nights, two ordinary nights, which were only glorified by the light of the truth. Our campfire was neither as hot nor as bright as the truth we heard. We thought that we would be roasting marshmallow at our campfire. Little did we know that we would be roasting ignorance and delusion. We are utterly grateful and totally in awe of the past few days. Seven friends on a climb unexpectedly stumble upon the most precious secrets of life. As these last words in my diary end, I can only say, wake up. Wake up. This is the time you asked me to wake you up. I really love the last words of the story. I can compliment it because I was just an instrument. I really love how it finished just precisely the most powerful you can finish a book. This is the time you asked me to wake you up. So all of us that give our ears and our heart to this truth, it is our time. Whether we hear it here or in the street or someplace else. Just the fact that, to me, is big, is really big. When those words were coming onto the paper, I was taken, I was shaken.
So the lady is saying that to them, right? The wake up, this is the time you asked me to wake you up. Because she's writing in the diary and then that comes.
Again, you're not looking at the big picture. The thing is that the book finished that way.
Okay.
It doesn't matter who says it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even now when I read it, every time I read it, I picked this up during meditation and I read it. And I read that last part, and every time something in me...
Oh yeah, I get shakti. I get extreme shakti. I mean, as I was saying, wake up, this is the time. I was freezing inside and burning at the same time. It's powerful. only because it is. Only because it is.
Thank you. We're going to now talk about our take on Most Precious.
Yeah, and if you have opened it in one and you would like to say, if you contemplate it, you don't have to read it, just say which one it was and what you got out of it. And if you haven't, you haven't. So it doesn't matter.
Can I start?
Yes.
Sajjan, I came upon question 31 about attachments. In my journey in the past, I had come across different teachings, characterizations of attachments. There are many, many different teachers call it like in three categories: physical, fame, and hunger for whatever. And that was complicated enough to make to build on that. You know, as these things grow, as we come through our lives and are saddled with all the things society has taught us, it becomes a daunting task to drop them. And I was under the wrong impression that one first gets rid of the attachment before one is ready to meet the reality. This wisdom, as simple as these few words are in answer to question 31, are amazing. They turn this thing on its head. It says, we go to silence. That's the way to get rid of attachment.
Yes.
And they subside, they wither. They're not real. This was huge for me. The arduous task of putting away all those things, the whole ecosystem around the things that we get attached to, not just themselves, but our habits, ways of life, and expectations, and so forth. So this, what I took away from this was that by learning to be, to be still and to be silent, is the way to get rid of the attachment. That's my big takeaway, and I think that is enormous for me. Thank you for teaching us that. I really appreciate it.
That's exactly what you said. That's exactly the way it is. It is as simple as that. Anybody else? Go ahead.
I don't know if I can explain myself right, but I opened the book the way you said, like Tafa'ol or randomly, and it came the first question. And if you remember in Most Precious also, I had said that is the most amazing and the most favorite for me and the most powerful one. And it was like, it was astonishing that either with the heart or with the mind, it tells me the same, and the solution and the whole thing for me is still the same first question. And I believe it is the sum and of the whole book. And just if you had taught us that first one, that was beyond and enough. And that's still my homework to work on. And towards the end, it says, listen to your conscious voice. And that also was my one of the biggest desires when I was little. I always had that. And it was something huge for me that it points me to what has always been. And I just have to get deeper and get more focused and stay focused on what matters and what has been told to me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing that we each get what is our weakness or our misconception or misunderstanding, like Mansoor was saying, and it sheds the light on it.
reflection, for me, most precious is a lifetime companion. So it's just, it's, I remember when I first came back from Spain and you gave me the CDs, I would spend so much time with it. Even my parents' dogs, we would just be in the room just listening to it over and over. And I always wondered, gosh, will I one day understand, you know, what she's saying in here? And everything, I'm so grateful for the journey you took the Sai Center on for the last year plus, you know, 66 questions has taken more than a year. And just so beautiful to me. For me, the thing that's always stood out was your reply to question two. The success comes when you don't give it any power for pain and suffering. This one sentence, this means you do not give the pain and suffering a reality in which to exist. That's been my...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This book came out of my own pain. My own pain and suffering. This is why the first question addresses that. And it's, it started in November of 1997, so it's 24 years old. But when you read it, it's eternal, it's ancient. The truth that never moves, and the orbit of life moves around it. This is always a standing. Anybody else?
Not the Farsi again.
Yeah, she can translate it for you.
این کتاب مثل اینه که پرده من با من حرف میزنه. دوباره که داستانو میخوندم و دوباره وقتی که اینو بازش کردم چیزی رو به من میگه که من دوست ندارم حتی بشنوم. یعنی انقدر برام نمیدونم سخته یا نمیتونم انجامش بدم که پدرم نمیخواد بشنومش به چیزی که توی خواب شبم مثلا دوباره به هم گفته میشه. توی وقتایی که شکست میخورم میدونم که ریشش از چیه. و اینم که بازش میکنم دوباره همینو به هم میگه. نمیدونم اصلا بعضی وقتا یادم میره که یه کتاب جدا از منه. مثل این که بقیه منه. حقیقت منه. من دوباره این کتاب رو امروز موقعی باز کردم که داشتم از همون جایی اذیت میشدم که همیشه میشم و همیشه نمیخوام بشنوم.
اوکی.
سال 51 بود. فقط یه تیکش رو بخونم. رضایت به چیزی تعلق نداشتن است. تعلق نداشتن آزادی است. آزادی آرامش و شادی است. برعکس آنچه که حواس پنجگانه شهادت میدهند، قانع باشید.
It does talk to you.
چگونه؟ اینجا شو دوست داشتم. در یگانگی هیچ گونه دوگانگی وجود ندارد که بتوان به آن وابسته شد. بدون صورت هیچ دلیلی هم برای نارضایتی نیست. مگر اینکه فکر کنید شما فانی، ضعیف و یک موجود جدا از خداوند هستید.
So Mira says that that this book to me always feels like it's my heart speaking to me. When I read the story again, when I picked it up again today, this book always tells me exactly what I need to hear. At times, I don't even want to hear it. It seems too hard to hear or to do. It's the exact thing that I need to hear. I hear it in my night dream. I know when I fall or fail that is my failure, where it's coming from. It's hard to even believe that this book is separate from me. I opened it today when I was going through a tough time, and question 51 came, and she says, I'm going to read just a small part of it.
Speak to us, dear one. What should be our reaction and approach to life? Contentment is detachment. Detachment is freedom. Freedom is peace and joy. Be content no matter what your senses witness. How? By unity. There is no two to be attached to. There is no cause to be discontent unless you accept yourself to be mortal, weak, and a separated being from God. You are, in reality, formless.
سجو برای منم قبل از شامگاه، قبل از ملاقات اومد و یه قسمتشو که خیلی بهم کمک کرد برای درک بیشترش، من اون قسمتو میخونم چون مسیر من همین بوده. یعنی خودتون توی سمبولا توضیح میدید این قسمتو و میگید انسان‌ها در ابتدای مسیر خودشناسی مانند مگسانند. حقیقت را از آنچه که حقیقت ندارد و آنچه که تغییر پذیر و فانی است تشخیص نمی‌دهند. ولیکن آنها در مسیر خودشناسی با عرضه کردن تمامیت و عشقشان به معبود به خود فراموشی رسیده و مانند زنبورهای اصل یگانگی و توحید را درک کرده و با معبود یکی شده. آنگاه از اصاره وجود واحد خود شراب ذات الهی را هدیه میگیرم. من فکر میکنم این مسیریه که من طی کردم. یعنی تمام مراحل همه من آماده میکنم برای ملاقات بزرگ. قبل از شامم قسمت آخرش که توضیح میده که بچه ها با نگاه کردن دارن میبینن که چقدر وابستگی هاشون کمتر شده به باورا و اینا. این چیزی بود که شما طول تو شما از اول به من گفتید که استاپ مادر میتیشن است و این مسیر بدون استاپ برای من امکان پذیر میدنم. یعنی با رفتن هم موقعیتی و افتار احساسات و اینا تا این ملاقات و این یگانگی
وقت تازه استاپ هم عملی نبوده مگر اینکه that seven kids cooperate. میدونی چی میگه؟ یعنی پختگی تو بخواسته، اونم حتی پختگی میخواسته که بتونی که لااقل یه ذره درک کنی، یه ذره همه چی بیاد پایین تا ملاقات.
Is significant to me because it is my journey. I came across this book before I met you, and this part really helped me to understand my journey up until the point where I met you.
It starts with, as we see in the humanity.
Go ahead.
As we see in the humanity, we can observe that most people are like flies. They sit on anything and everything without discrimination, until they get interested on the deeper path of recognizing themselves. At that point, they begin to differentiate between what is real and what is not, what is temporary and what is eternal. Once on the path of realization, when a person gives all their attention and love to their beloved or their goal, like the honeybees, they reach self-forgetfulness and realize that they are one in essence with the flowers.
So Hala says, that was my path. I feel like everything I endured up until I met you was preparing me for that meeting. The children, after they meet the Lady of Truth, talk about how much less attached they are to everything and all the beliefs than they were before. It reminds me of how you told me that stop meditation is the mother of all meditations. It would have been impossible for me to be on this path without stop meditation. All it was for me before that was identification with the mind and the thoughts and the emotions. And Sat says, and stop would be impossible unless those seven children cooperated. It needs maturity to understand so that everything can settle down before that meeting takes place.
And another point I'd like to bring to attention, and I think I've done it before, is that the as the seven children go up, first they start talking about, you know, the time of memories of growing up, and as they go up, their village gets smaller and smaller. And so that also symbolizes, as our conscious is adapted more to emptiness or silence, then our bazaar becomes smaller and smaller and more insignificant. Not only just smaller, but it just doesn't, is not so in our view, is out of focus at that time. That's another point I think it's important.
They said that the town and the village looked like a dot where
yeah,
they were
by the time they got up there, yeah.
But they progressively got further and
further
away
and further.
Forgot more and more about their...
Yeah, and then instead of sharing memory, they started noticing things.
Yeah.
Another thing was that they started noticing every little movement in the nature, and that is being present. If you're not present, how do you notice what is happening here? Anybody else?
Hi, John. It's Bahar from the computer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Mine was kind of funny, actually. I wish it were like, I don't know, maybe... No, I don't even wish it was a different one, but I thought it was entertaining that after my whole family was gone for all of last week, and I had like an intoxicating freedom and was not necessarily looking forward to everybody coming back. I pick question 37. Please speak to us. Is it necessary to leave our family job and all of our attachments in order to be free to apply your advice?
Bullseye.
And I remember telling you about this freedom last week, and you said something along the lines of, if you do all of your work, you can actually taste freedom without attachment, basically,
yeah,
when your work is done. And Sadhu and I laugh, yes, that freedom is amazing without them, but the freedom I taste with you and because of you, it would be intolerable. Without you, your wisdom, and this incredible book, which is the most amazing piece of literature I've ever read, and I really thank you.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
As I remember our conversation.
I kept dwelling on the fact that the children got along so well and worked together so well, and there was no complication, and they would never have reached the top if they hadn't. And I just realized now, I kind of feel like that with satsang here. We all know there's a goal and we're all going there together and we're all cooperating, but there's no stress or fear or, but you know, it's pulling us all together and we're all kind of like that.
It's so true. So true. And that they could call satsang, just keeping the company that is closest to your heart and encouraging each other, inspiring each other. Because to be honest with you, I have gone through this path almost 50 years. Let me tell you, it is ultimately is alone. Because we were born alone, we die alone, in between whatever happens is within our own self. But the gift and grace comes when we have around us people that holds the same value, the same goal, like you were saying. It really, really helps for us. It helps us in our practice. It helps us, encourages us to do a better job of whatever approach we have to, whatever technique we use, whatever we do. And I look around in this room, and I am extremely humbled with gratitude, honestly, that this room symbolizes the guru to uphold this satsang and even branch it out into Zoom, different places in the world, to chat, to hear underneath the meditation tree. Sometimes when you come to Reno, you should come and visit us. Now we turn the garage to another gathering, and each of your homes. You have your own altar, you have your own approach. It's very purifying, like you were saying, Adrian.
And it's a shared goal, so you don't have that in common with anyone else. It's a shared goal with the...
Yeah, there is no competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no competition at all, like she was saying.
As our understanding expands, Saturn, the most precious, is going to continue to expand more and more for us too, right?
Yeah, until you become most precious. When I say you become, means you identify with the most precious more than the other interruption. Do you have anything to share?
Well, I'll tell you the one I picked, or I selected randomly, was question 36, which is, please, most precious one, speak to us again. What is the best way to be? Mm. Remind us of it once more.
That's one of my favorite ones.
Me too. And I was so overwhelmed by it because it was the best opportunity to make some comparisons to where we came from and where we are now, especially even just my old understanding of this. First be, then be this or that as you know the truth. Like, I think back to where I started and was still so blessed with this, but where I started was back into the bazaar. gotta get back in there. And now, especially in the last couple of months, I feel like I'm always saying that, but what's been going on in the blog chats, even the last couple of weeks, turning your attention inward, holding the first thought, what relax really means, feeling the presence and the existence, seeing the ego rise. I even have a couple of quotes. Every emotion rises from silence because there is no other base from which to rise. But instead of running with it, we turn around and look at it, and it goes back to its source. It goes back to its silence. There is so much here that is showing us what this really means, which is what is two masters? There is a master, and then there is looking in the other direction.
Yeah.
And if you think you can feel this as an entity, and it's its own thing, and it's starting to become more real.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where do we begin?
Yeah.
How do we explain ourselves? Now, is it my turn? You know, all of you know, and everything you guys say, I say grace, grace, right?
Yeah.
It's the grace, because grace is not personalized. What do you think I open to?
Speak to
grace. 40. Question number 40. What is it meant by the grace of God? The grace of God is the blessing you get with the territory of the truth that is within you now and later it is you forever. And it always has been. Therefore, grace is the true existence, the real permanence. And then goes on, and by doing that, your peace becomes stronger. Anyway, you can read it. I don't want to take your time. But when I opened it to Grace, really?
You're consistent even in that.
Because every other word I say is Grace. It's so appropriate when we need to hear something ourselves. And right there it is. How fortunate and how full of grace we are. The grace.
As Carrie was reviewing just some of the things we've had, even just in the last 3 weeks or something, I'm so grateful to the grace, because the grace is teaching us how to live most precious.
Yeah.
And it's just such a huge, huge thing, and I'm so grateful for that.
It really is. It really is.
I have a question, Sa. Look how unbelievably amazing every single one of us got what we needed to have. Is it because of...
the grace. Just the grace.
You set that one up, Farrah. We didn't need any grace to pull that off.
It really is.
Is it because you wanted us to do it, or it's always a good approach to... because I thought to myself, and maybe wrong, that this is the way we should live versus just going after
just
logic.
The grace. And it explained what the grace... maybe I should read it. You get your answer. Would you did read the 40? By when you associate with the silence, the truth, hearing the truth, tasting the truth, seeing the truth, contemplating the truth, the staying in the silence, which it happens spontaneously when you have interest, the more you associate with the truth, the more you see the grace visibly in your life. You get it? So opening this book to something that you need is due to your association and your interest, that you get exactly what you need at the right time. You associate with the villain, eventually you become his partner or her partner. You associate with someone like a Mother Teresa, eventually you let go of some of the selfishness and serve the poor. You associate with the truth, you rise up above good and bad, where the grace is. The grace.
It's almost like there's no other interference.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I love
Thank you, Seth. This has been such an experience for all of us doing this. Thank you so much.
I'm full of gratitude for Most Precious. Namaste to all of you. I'm sure Namaste. It's the right time to say goodbye.
It is. Why?
Because
of the grace.
Namaste to Grace and each of you.
Okay, thank you.
This way we don't hold on to a circumstances, occasion, a person to say this is where my grace come, this situation did it. No, is the grace. Go on, move on.